KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.
You will love the staff at Abide Napa Cannabis Dispensary, now open in Napa. The Abide staff's understanding of the medical properties of cannabis enable them to expertly consult patients to the optimum recommendation, free of any intimidation. Their mission is simple: provide patients with the highest quality cannabis products at a fair price. Visit AbideNapa.com or call their experts at 707-266-1967. That's 266-1967. Cannabis expertise, way different than the year 1967.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Vintage Sotheby's International Realty, Napa's only locally owned and operated Sotheby's Realty office, has an amazing team of experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Vintage Sotheby's Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate matters. Visit VintageSotheby'sRealty.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
It's time for All Things Napa with your host, Lee W. Miller, a community leader, full-time realtor, and a serial networker passionate about promoting local businesses. Let's learn what's new in the Napa business scene today.
Welcome to All Things Napa. It is a stellar day to be on the radio, and I'm so happy to be able to announce our guest. You guys have not been in the studio for a while now. Welcome Lisa and Mike Bertolucci, co-owners, broker managers, real estate extraordinaires, and technically my employer.
Yep.
As much as a guy who works straight commission and 1099 can be employed. That
exactly.
Would be me.
Morning, Lee. How you doing?
I am very well. And we also have Ryan Modlin, HabitatADU.com, as the song goes. So we are going to be, talking just a little bit about real estate today. Normally, this is not a show that has to do with real estate. This is a show whose mere existence is to help promote local businesses in and around the Napa Valley. And so we're going to do that first with Ryan Modlin, Habitat ADU. And the studio set up a little bit different. So I have zero eye contact. There's a monitor wall. So we'll just make do.
It's an air social distancing monitor.
Yeah. Yeah. So welcome, Ryan. How are things going at Habitat ADU?
Doing great. Thank you very much. Habitat's really continuing to grow and switch things up. We actually just launched all new floor plans. So that's kind of the big news this month, and we're really excited about them.
So I know that previously you guys had multiple floor plans, seven, as I recall, correct?
Yeah, we had about nine, and it's still very similar to that. We have nine new floor plans now, but they range anywhere from 450 square feet all the way up to a couple really great, well thought out 1,200 square foot designs.
Is that to imply the 450 square feet is not well thought out?
That is, you can only do so much with a 450 square foot space.
Right. The thinking becomes moot, I suppose, at some point in 450, right? So for those who have not heard anything about Habitat ADU before, why don't you tell us just a quick little summary of what makes you guys different?
Sure. Yeah, well, thanks. And I can kind of introduce not only Habitat, but myself, a quick background on me. I am a native to the North Bay, born and raised in Sonoma County, and have been in the home and prefab building space for a number of years. I was with a company called Blue Homes, which did a lot of spec homes and kind of scattered lot home development throughout the wine country, and worked for another prefab company prior to getting pitched to Habitat and really joining this team. I really thought Habitat had something going for them, and it's proven me right. They are just focusing on accessory dwelling units, and that is largely in part because of a sweeping set of legislative laws that were passed in 2019 that went into effect in 2020. And that has made it substantially easier for Californians to build ADUs in their backyards. And so when I heard of that, I knew that was a high demand. It always has been, giving me an opportunity to not only help build homes for keeping families closer, but also, you know, I know firsthand how hard it is to live in the places that you grew up based on availability of affordable housing.
Makes perfect sense. And I love when businesses are born out of necessity, and the necessity here is certainly a need for more housing. And when state laws have been modified so that there's a consistent criteria to build accessory dwelling units in any county in the state and have the same criteria for setbacks and things of that nature, which used to be just a complete mess of every county had their own guidelines,
right,
and it would be next to impossible to adhere to all of that. And you guys are how old as a company now?
I like to say we are a young, hungry startup with a lot of seasoned veterans and even a few jaded contractors at this point. We definitely have the
you
startup
had to narrow
vibe.
The field to find a couple of jaded ones.
Right. We want to make sure we're getting having the honest construction background. So the founder of Habitat, the co-founder of Habitat, was the CEO at Blue Homes for 6 or 7 years prior to starting Habitat. So a lot of the employees from Blue Homes, a lot of the connections in the construction industry, a lot of the same vendors, even our manufacturing partner is the same. We've just really switched to a new company, new venture-backed capitalist funds out of San Francisco, headquartered in the Presidio, and are really bringing a tremendous amount of growth and bright minds to our company to help tackle this housing crisis that we're in, and really start building several homes all throughout the wine country and now California.
Yeah, and your responsibility is the greater North Bay area, but you've got counterparts that cover all areas of the state?
Yeah, so we really started off in the Bay Area proper, kind of the greater Bay Area. And, you know, we saw that even though the state supersedes most local jurisdictions, there's still some you want to have networks within the areas that you're building. There's still subcontractors needed. There's still planning departments and permit offices that need consistent or specialized forms, things like that. So we really have small construction teams all throughout California. We are now in Southern California as well, in LA. We are opening in Sacramento. Shout out to all my 916 family out there. And we're opening to Sacramento here in the first part of April. So we're really excited about that and continuing to grow. We also got a new factory, continuing to max out our capacity at our factory partners. So the fact that we're growing, continuing to have you know, more factory partnerships and expanding means we can get our homes in a lot of pretty much anywhere in California here by the end of the year.
So let's talk about factory, because that's the big key difference between you and your competitors. If somebody wants an ADU on their property, they can go find a non-jaded contractor and they can have a draftsperson or an architect create the drawings. They can go down to the city and file all the paperwork and hire a contractor to build in a traditional building process, or they can contact you. And what would be the difference?
Well, the difference was just hearing you say most of the steps needed already sounds complicated. And even for me, someone that's been in the industry for a long time, you know, I would still want some help. I would still want to lean on a project manager or a team of people that could help me with permitting, or how do I know I'm getting, you know, not over designing my home to the point where I do finally find a contractor willing to build this home and he's telling me it's $1,000 a square foot. So, you know, I definitely believe in custom homes. I believe that, you know, you work hard and you should be able to get what you want. And there's plenty of that out there. And really with accessory dwelling units, because it is easy to overdesign and is hard historically to find a locked in price or a known timeline of your project, that's really where Habitat can come in. And through a manufacturing partner and building within a controlled environment, having a known building slot, predictable building slot and a window months ahead of time, meaning that we can get you comfortably through permitting with our internal permit experts. We have help you with the design, get you that permit in hand, and we're ready to break ground on the property while at the same time ordering materials and building your home in the factory concurrently to site development.
You know, I hadn't actually thought about it that way. I know that a huge benefit to using Habitat ADU is that all the client needs to do is select the model and maybe a few options. Then you guys do everything else. But the simultaneous concurrent manufacturing process while all of the permits are being requested and waited on and issued, that's just a very great utilization and an efficient timetable.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. We like to be circling the neighborhood once the foundation is cured. So, you know, it's really a great way to build if you have tenants or just don't want to disturb your neighbors. The site can literally go from nothing to, 90% completed home in about 4 to 6 weeks or less. So,
wow. Are you sure the foundation is dry by then?
Yeah, we need a couple weeks.
Not set it down there too fast.
Yeah, starts to muffin top a little bit.
But yeah. Hey, you should change the name to Muffin Top ADUs. Yeah. Put every single one on wet concrete. It could be a little trademark thing.
Yeah, we like to get as close to ground level as possible while still maintaining a seismically correct foundation.
There you go. So, all that sounds great, but are they sustainably built? Because that is an important factor to people. So I hope the answer is yes, because otherwise I'd really be putting you on the spot.
Yeah. So I think it's how you define sustainable. But, you know, the fact that, you know, if you look at it from building, you know, if you were to build a car in your backyard and all of the, you know, one day the wheels and tires show up. And, you know, if you were to just piece it out piece by piece, how how inefficient and unsustainable that would be. The fact that we can build offsite at such a high level of completion is really where we see it being a sustainable way of building and really helping the environment in which you're building a low impact to your property and your neighborhood. You know, there's a lot of different types of prefab as well. There's people that build, they say they build prefab or say they do a 3D home, but a lot of it is still built on site. You know, even Blue Homes, there was, you know, you get about 50-60% of the project maybe done in the factory, but there's still siding and a stitch and seam. There's marrying the mods, finishing the roofing. There still was quite a bit of work needed to be done on site, which then again slows the project down. It leaves a greater variability of unknown cost and unknown timeline to finish the job. So a Habitat home is coming with a roof and you know, composite shingles already on. It's closed wall construction. You've got your flooring already done. All of your kitchen appliances are even installed. You've got siding on. You've got quite a bit of a finished home right when it's set on the foundation. So depending on the home you get and the design, it could be just needing some gutters tied to the foundation and putting your toothbrush inside, and you'd be moved in here in the, you know, 48 hours or so. How do you like that, Lisa?
Well, I have a question for you. Most of the homes I'm sure that you guys do are in a neighborhood, has a large enough lot in the backyard. What about somebody that has a property that's on, say, a septic system? Do you guys have to look into, you know, the viability of increasing the septic system, leach lines or anything like that? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. We were actually talking as a company about rural property development and doing webinars. We have a lot of webinars more or less for California, but some of them are specific to rural properties. And as we know, here in wine country, there's quite a bit of you know, septic systems. How old or how long do septic systems last is another question. So yeah, when you're going into a project, really depending on what you're trying to do, we are very pro repair or pro expansion of the existing system. But you know, that's if you're building a small, say, a traditional one bedroom granny flat or so, you can do something, get a little creative by doing a room swap, or we have two bedroom designs and even three bedroom designs that we can create one of those bedrooms being a legal den. So no closet or closed door. So you're able to call it a two bedroom. But, you know, we also look and work with the customer too about what are you going to be using this property for and what's best for the property long term. You know, if your septic system's 70 years old and it's a two bedroom system and you're looking to get a 1200 square foot three bedroom home to really kind of grow out that family compound, we do have to have those discussions around, you know, perk tests and when the best time to look into either expanding on the property or getting new new systems.
So is that part of that comprehensive service that you provide, or would you tell the client, figure out what you want to do on the septic yeah. and then get back to us?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, you know, it's kind of up to the customer, but I would say lean on, that's the septic system is one of many, many things that needs to happen in order to build. And all of a sudden you're spending months of your own time to look in or call septic companies, and it can get complicated. Do you need an engineer, like a civil engineer? Do you need a drainage plan? Do you need soils reports? You could spend tens of thousands of dollars without needing to. So we do say we have our own internal septic engineers and our own internal contacts that could help you. And we want to be a part of it every step of the way if we can. So lean on us to be your project manager. And yes, that is something we discuss. We call it a project assessment. And the project assessment is, it's a scope of really siting the home on the property, visiting the property with a construction manager, looking at delivery feasibility, taking measurements, looking at the grade, the slope of the property. And we also have a design session with you too. So there's quite a bit there that gets you a nice kind of a proposal about what it would be like to build a home on our on your property.
Speaking of the rural properties, I think it's a really good idea to put one of these, you know, ADUs on a rural. We have a lot of burn lots available around here.
Right.
And construction can be out, you know, 2 years plus on these. I know they're fast tracking some of the permits. And they're trying to get these rebuilt as quick as possible. But, you know, it's a great option for somebody who has a burn lot who maybe wants to rebuild, get back on their property to have one of these ADUs put on, live in the ADU while they build their property back. Right. I mean, it's a, if you think about it, like you said, you know, doing the foundation from 4 to 6 weeks of having a house versus 2 years waiting for the whole permitting and build process to get back on your property in right. under 2 months is... It's priceless.
True. Yeah. But the manufacturing process is 4 to 6 weeks, but the entire right. process certainly going to be longer than that. But to your point, way shorter than the process to rebuild
their main house. They're
yeah.
doing the foundation and getting everything ready while they're building the ADU. It just right. really speeds up the process.
And of course, it's very important to note, this is not your grandfather's manufactured home,
no wood
AKA
paneling
or, mobile yeah. home yeah. trailer.
Remember the wood paneling and the Formica countertops?
Yeah. Aluminum
with the gold flex on them. Yeah.
And the walls were about 1.5 to 2 inches thick.
Yeah. And a R rating of 3.
Yeah. Oh, he made a construction joke.
That's it. I had prepared that one.
So it's kind of hard to describe so people can see. So I guess they should go to habitatadu.com and they can see some of the images and just learn how cool and sleek these structures can be.
So. Right. Yeah. If anyone wants to see any of them, we've got a model home in Santa Rosa being wrapped up as we speak. It's 1,200 square foot. It's, you know, 9-foot ceilings up to 11-foot ceilings at some points. Full-on 3-bedroom, 2-bath, brand-new home, and we'd love to show you guys that. We also have one in Oakland, and then several, kind of case studies and clients around that we can provide as references to of, that quintessential backyard.
And you're building those primarily as showrooms, not necessarily, well, or I guess eventually someone will live in them, but for right now, that's what you're using as showrooms, right?
Well, one of our early customers, Vivian, she allowed us to rent the home back from her. So that is on private property in Oakland.
You go, Vivian.
Yeah, she's great. It worked out well. Her mom was still tied up in a lease for another year or so. So it worked out really well for us and for her. And we've had a lot of fun with that. We have a few of those throughout the Bay Area. So we also have a model home in Burbank. But the one in Santa Rosa is a property that we own. It's going to be a design center and kind of
a
showcase
now,
unit.
Is it, you know, parked yeah. down by the car dealerships? Or,
No. Right. It's floating with a crane above 101. No.
Yeah. It's great marketing right there.
Yeah, we're also doing bungee jumping out of it.
Yeah. Multiple streams of income.
It's actually... it's right by the JC. It's within okay. walking distance of the JC, yeah. right off of Humboldt Bicycle Boulevard. So it's a great, you wouldn't even think kind of tight little old colonial or Victorian style homes that now you've got this 1,200 square foot ADU. That the ADU is actually almost 300 square feet larger than the primary residence.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that area of Santa Rosa, those all homes, I think from the 40s, and they're all pretty small. So, great utilization of that space. And the original smaller home is still there, correct?
Yeah, and it's pretty ironic to go, and I work out of that home sometimes, and then to go into the ADU and be in there for a little while, get acclimated, and then you go back into the primary residence, and you feel like you're getting shoved into a shoebox, you know, like barely 8-foot high ceilings and just very compartmentalized. I'm a tall guy, so it's definitely, you can feel it right away. So we'll make that a part of the tour when we come visit with you guys.
House is so small, the front door and the back door are on the same hinge.
There you go. That's a
very small.
Yeah.
So For the people fortunate enough to be listening right now, I'll bet you they're hoping that there's some kind of a promo or something, some benefit to them. So
coupon time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. So, you know, really the best step to start working with us is what's called a project assessment. And that's what I mentioned. You get kind of a whole, you get conceptually put your ideas to paper and figure out what and if this is possible, general timeline, get a really pretty accurate, not to exceed price that we give to you at the proposal as well, which is something nobody else can do, is lock in a price for you this early on. But yeah, it's called a project assessment, and typically that's $1,000. It's fully refundable for any reason. We just want a shot at earning your business and wowing you along the way, and we are offering that to any listeners today for All Things Napa, that you can get that for $250. So
wow,
yeah.
What are you going to do with that extra $750?
Hopefully, anything you want. Invest it into your future ADU.
There you go.
Upgrade the countertops.
Yeah,
there you go.
All right. Hey, that was a very interesting 27 minutes. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And Ryan, you're going to stick around and talk some more shop talk with us, right?
Of course.
All right. Stay with us.
Introducing a new and unique source of accessory dwelling units. HabitatADU.com is an all-in-one ADU builder who makes the entire process convenient and actually fun. The new statewide ADU building codes means more properties can accommodate them. Choose from 9 pre-designed models of varying size, built off-site, and delivered nearly 100% complete in much less time than traditional methods. Leave all the permit process and management of the project to the team at HabitatADU.com. Find out if you might benefit from an accessory dwelling unit on your property at HabitatADU.com.
Vintage Sotheby's International Realty, Napa's only locally owned and operated Sotheby's Realty office, has an amazing team of experienced and knowledgeable agents that exceed the high standards and qualifications to assure the ultimate goal of assisting clients buying or selling homes throughout the entire Napa Valley and beyond. Whether now or sometime in the future, remember to consider Vintage Sotheby's Realty, the luxury brand with the local focus that you deserve for any real estate matters. Visit VintageSotheby'sRealty.com to connect when it makes sense for you, or call 707-944-0888. That's 707-944-0888. DRE number 01874685.
You will love the staff at Abide Napa Cannabis Dispensary, now open in Napa. The Abide staff's understanding of the medical properties of cannabis enable them to expertly consult patients to the optimum recommendation, free of any intimidation. Their mission is simple: provide patients with the highest quality cannabis products at a fair price. Visit AbideNapa.com or call their experts at 707-266-1967. That's 266-1967. Cannabis expertise, way different than the year 1967.
KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.
Alrighty, we are back. That was Ryan Modlin with Habitat ADU, still in the studio with us and offering project site assessments for only $250. That's a great deal, and it will answer all of your questions so that you know exactly how much an ADU would be on your property, including assessment of possible septic systems, as Lisa Bertolucci asked the question of the day.
Every once in a while, I come up with a good one.
There you go. So, Mike and Lisa, how goes the real estate market in Napa Valley? You guys kind of been doing this a while.
Yeah, a couple days anyways.
Yeah.
Well, the office just celebrated our one-year anniversary of us having ownership of the company. So that's very exciting.
Congratulations.
Nice. Yeah.
anniversary to celebrate. So we can't.
We didn't really celebrate.
We really acknowledged it.
Yeah.
But one of these days,
socially distanced through email.
Exactly. Yeah. One of these days, we'll be able to have our grand opening that got canceled last year because of COVID. So hopefully things will start to open up again and we can all have a safe gathering.
It'll be the 2-year anniversary in 2022 or something like that.
Exactly.
You know. Yeah, you're the only ones doing a big 2-year celebration.
Yeah, exactly. 2020 was bad. 2021 went hold my beer and we'll see what next year holds.
There you go.
So I got a couple of stats here that I was pretty surprised about. The median home price in the county, not in the city of Napa, in January was $875, and in February it was $947.
Yeah.
8.2%
increase.
We're
seeing a lot of multiple offers right now on a lot of properties.
And yet, because realtors are so ridiculously gifted and smart, the appraised value always seems to come in right on the contract price.
For the most part, yeah, they do. I've seen a couple that have come in a little bit under, but those are extenuating circumstances. But for the most part, things have been hitting appraisal, so we've been lucky.
Yeah, I am spewing facetiousness because I am I'm not a jaded contractor, but
there
sometimes I can be a little bit jaded about the real
estate
industry.
Yeah. It's kind of hard not to be.
Not because of my clients. That's the best part. But some of the norms and things of that nature kind of just cause a little ire. Perhaps it's my scant 62 years that would contribute to such ire. So, and then the average price was $1,125,000, and now it's $1,204,000. So that's a 7% increase in a month. And when I see those stats, it just makes me so frustrated that some of my clients about a year ago that were in contract freaked out and said, things are going to get bad. It's does not make sense for me to proceed and buy a house right now. And, you know, year over year, we're up like 22%. And they could have, you know, on $500,000, that's $100,000 gain to them if they had just stayed in contract on that $500,000 house. But what did they say about hindsight?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfectly clear, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember hearing, you know, stuff. There's no way this house is going to sell for $600,000, or there's no way they're going to get $550 for it. And now it's, you know, $900.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I've seen it for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And you know, do I see the market slowing down? Well, at some point it naturally has to. Do I see us going backwards? No, probably not. It's, you know, kind of hard to put toothpaste back in the tube. So you know, I think we're going to see a strong market through this year. I think we're gonna see multiple offers continue to go, and there to be low inventory.
Right. So. And for our listeners that may not be aware, the multiple offer situation is caused simply by too many buyers and not enough homes. It's just a classic supply and demand. And so when you have a buddy of mine said the other day, there are more realtors than there are homes for sale.
Oh, most definitely.
So, I mean, by a huge margin.
Most definitely. I mean, every listing has at least 3 to 5 offers. I got into one a couple weeks ago, and I think they had received 13 offers on the property. And this is for first-time home buyers, you know, and they're right around the mid-500 range. And, you know, they're coming in strong and over asking, but they're just getting blown out of the water. And then you watch it close, and it's closed for almost $100,000 over, $75,000 over. It's crazy. And,
right.
You know, and I feel bad for these first-time home buyers. I mean, it's all that they can to get approved for this loan, to get their down payment, and then to get out there and really start looking. You know, it's an emotional process. You walk into the home and you're picturing your life there, you're picturing your family there, you're picturing growing your family there. And you know, as doing this as well, there's a sense of attachment that happens, and then all of a sudden you put your offer in and some anticipation, and then you hear back, well, we got 13 offers and we countered the top five back, and
and
unfortunately
you weren't
in it, so yeah.
Pretty tough to overcome that.
It is.
And I think the lack of inventory is not helping that situation, because people are starting to just bid these insane amounts on these homes just because there is no inventory and it's a take it or leave it situation. And if somebody wants the house bad enough, they're willing to, you know, pay a bunch of money over asking, waive a bunch of contingencies, you know, pay over appraisal, things like that, just to get the home because there are no homes available.
Speaking of appraisal, I mean, it's very common right now to waive that appraisal contingency. I've seen that quite a bit.
Well, that makes sense to help you win the deal, but if a buyer waives an appraisal contingency and the home comes in $50,000 under the contract price, that buyer needs to pay the difference of $50,000 because the lender is still only going to lend on the appraised value.
So a lot of buyers are coming in strong with strong down payments, and that's what's getting them ahead, I think, in the game of multiple offers. But you know, you still have the people who are trying to get the FHA and the conventional loan at 20%, and that these are the people who are getting, you know, left out and harmed by this.
Right.
You know, you're going to get somebody maybe from out of the area who's going to come in and want to buy a $700,000 house, and they're going to put $400,000 down or $350,000 down, and that appraisal contingency doesn't really matter, you know, because they're past their threshold of an 80-20 loan or something like that, to where it doesn't make a difference. But that person trying to get the FHA loan where there's, you know, 3.5% down or whatever, and they have to be very conservative on how far they do go over. You know, maybe it's $5,000 they can afford that, but certainly not 50.
Right.
So
yeah, I recently wrote an offer, and I included in there that we would pay up to $5,000.
Yeah.
That was all they could do, but it was $5,000 over, out of cash, over the appraised value. And
that's a lot for somebody to come up with, yeah, on top of what you were purchasing your home with. Yeah.
Right, right. So. And unfortunately, we didn't get it, but that was all the wiggle room that we could muster.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important to note also that there are funds available. If you're listening and you're thinking, well, you know, they're throwing around these numbers of 750 and a million and so on and so forth. That is the market that we live in, but we still do have homes in the 500s that come up every once in a while. And many buyers don't understand that there is free money. Yes, I said free money available. So if you've been saving and saving and you want to jump into this market, now would be a good time, because that free money doesn't always exist. And there's a number of lenders that work specifically with those programs. That free money is coming from the city of Napa and the county of Napa. There's restrictions. There's requirements to qualify. But it's there.
It sure does help out.
Yeah. So
it really does.
If you're in that camp, you can always reach out to anyone at the Vintage Sotheby's office or LeeWMiller.com. So we are talking to Mike and Lisa Bertolucci. How long have you guys been in the real estate industry?
Mike's been in it longer than I have. I've only been in it off and on for, 12 years, 13 years now, something like
newcomer.
That?
yeah, so I've been, you know, I'm going to be 47 this year, and my mom started doing this when I was, you know, 4 or 5 years old. You know, and I've said this many times before, and I often joke about it. You know, I was the original kid locked in the hot car. So, but not really. But so I but kind
we'll,
of.
We'll edit.
Add an asterisk there.
We will edit out the not really.
Yeah. So I grew up in the industry, you know, with my mom and around it. You know, my mom took me to so many showings as a kid growing up, and you know, I've gotten to know so many of these agents here in the Valley, and I've known some of them for 40 plus years. And in fact, I ended up on a showing yesterday with an agent I've known since 1980.
Wow.
And you know, he remembers me when I was 6 years old, and we sat there and caught up and talked, and it was great, you know, and I know his family and friends, and, you know, it's kind of old Napa where everybody's intertwined a little bit.
Right.
So it's neat for me, you know, at almost 47 years old to still bump into and do business with these agents that I've known all of my life. So I think it's great.
Well, and you've seen vast changes in the industry as well.
Huge, yeah.
My dad was a real estate broker, and, you know, so I grew up in that similar environment. I remember the big books that you would look through.
Yeah, my mom had three or four of them float around the back seat of the car.
Yeah.
You know, she'd make a hard right and they'd ricochet around like a BB in a boxcar. So, yeah. Yeah, that and the contract that, you know, she had the, you know, it's like a three or four, you know, sheet
press
contract.
Hard, yeah, the bottom copy is yours.
You know, carbon paper. And she'd throw it on the trunk of her car in front of a house and, you know, be there with the client. And they'd fill it out by hand right there. The client would sign it. And my mom would physically, you know, tear the sheets off and go walk it over to the other agent who was there for the showing. And I've watched deals go down like that too.
Yeah.
Now everything's DocuSign and over the internet and texting the other agent, please confirm that you've gotten the offer. And
well, you'd have to throw over 100 pages on the back of your car and fill them all out.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's an iPad now.
Yeah. It's
my mom had a briefcase with all this stuff into the real estate books and, you know, all those contracts and pens and, you know, a tape measure and, you know.
For the buyer that said, well, I can't make a decision right now. I need to see if this couch, my couch is going to fit in this room.
Yeah.
Cindy just whip out that tape measure and say, how long is your couch?
You know, I remember one time being with my mom when I was a little kid and, you know, and they're walking through like an old Victorian house with a client. And, you know, my mom says, oh, I think there's foundation damage. And, you know, guy says, well, how do you know this? She pulls a marble out of her pocket.
Nice.
Sticks it on the floor and watches it roll hard left, you know, all the way across the house. And goes, well, there you go.
I used to do that when we had Caravan, you know, pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And the person that it was their listing, they were hosting the Caravan, looked at me like, dude, why are you doing that in front of all these agents?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I'll be here for your first showing as well. Yeah.
It should be in your disclosures anyway if you're playing it straight. So
yeah, I miss Caravan, speaking of that. I really that's one thing I really miss is going out on tour and seeing all the other agents and brokers and homes and mingling with people. That's one thing that's really bothered me not having.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with Caravan, it was, and hopefully soon will be, again, one day a week where virtually every realtor in Napa Valley is cruising around looking at the anywhere from 15 to 30 new listings that have just come on the market. Keeps you abreast of what's going on. Every time you walk into a house, you're thinking, oh, this would be good for Shirley. And this one won't fit.
The
I don't
snacks,
have anybody for this
on
house.
The table. I love the snacks, the cookies.
Well, there are many, many starving realtors that go to Caravan just for the snacks.
Take a donut with you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what are some big stories, maybe hearkening back to your early days, of some challenges that transactions that nearly didn't close based on one hiccup or another that everything worked out and they ended up closing.
Lisa's laughing.
Too many to choose from.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a lot better than I can't think of one.
There's talking about, you know, manufactured homes. This one was one of the older mobile home units that actually was still called a mobile home, although I think they had finally taken the wheels out from under it. But we had both sides of the transaction in house, and the daughters were selling it for the mom who had passed away. The buyer was purchasing it for her mom who lived out of country. And through all sorts of hiccups and all different things that...
ensuing shenanigans.
Right, exactly. That's a good way to put it. A 30-day escrow turned into a 65-day escrow.
Okay.
And it was one of the most nail-biting, stressful $175,000 transactions I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And
I've seen EMDs larger than that now. But.
That was definitely one of the ones that when I see a new mobile home come up and somebody's like, I want to go see a mobile home. It's one of those panic inducing words for me now. It was just so... difficult.
It was a tough one.
It was really bad. It all worked out. Everybody worked out, and it closed, and everybody was happy at the end of the day. But it was a little stressful because one of the sellers, the daughter, was an attorney, so she started using the attorney jargon on me. So I had to put my broker pants on, and pseudo attorney jargon back to her and, figure everything out. But luckily it was all in house. So we were able to kind of mediate between both parties and keep everybody happy and acquiescent and everything. So that worked out fairly well.
And that's the way that it should be. Mm-hmm. And now more than ever, because we have long delays on getting appraisers out to the property to appraise properties.
A lot of drive-by appraisals going on right now.
Which generally leads to a below value, which I guess is good for the buyers. But we all need to get along, so to speak. And
we're all working towards the same goal at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And when you're representing a buyer and the listing agent is giving you a bad time saying, hey, you're supposed to remove this contingency. And it's like, well, yeah, but we haven't even gotten in touch with the appraiser yet because they're so swamped, they're not even returning our calls.
Yeah, it's tough for that other agent because they have a backup offer and then probably one swing in third after that.
Right.
So they're probably getting a lot of pressure from their seller as well.
Right.
So I can see both sides of that one.
But does it make sense to stop that transaction 17 days in?
No, I mean, you're far enough along. Yeah, right. I mean,
if it's a matter of a couple of days, there's definitely some leeway to be had there. If it's a matter of a few weeks or another 30 days, then that's another story. But I think to your point is sometimes agents can lose the team effort ideology of this business. And we're all working towards the same goal at the end of the day. And sometimes agents, lose that. And they can turn into not nice people. Not that there's many of those out there, but every once in a while you get that one agent that just, has a burr up something to put a hiccup in the game. And it makes it a little more difficult than it actually needs to be.
Right. I like to remind the other side that we're all people first. So let's focus on our relationship, business or otherwise, and working through the obstacles as opposed to focusing on the transaction. Because the only reason the transaction is there is to help both clients.
So. Right. And it's how you work through those obstacles at the end of the day that's going to be remembered. And, this is a small valley. And like Mike says, it's an even smaller industry. And eventually you're probably going to have to work with that agent again. And you're going to remember how they treated you or didn't treat you before. And that's, could have some bearing on how the next transaction goes.
And I will say we have great agents in the valley.
Oh, 100%.
And I think because we're such a small valley in an even smaller industry, everybody really knows each other. And I think every once in a while you get that new agent who's going to, is going to come in here and set the world on fire and show us all how it's done. we all had that vinegar once before. But, but other than that, I think, I've gotten along with all the agents for years and done great transactions. And I think everybody, here in the Valley is, even with different brokerages and everything are pretty stellar. We're real lucky. I mean, we could be doing business in LA. I mean, can you imagine how that would go? I would jerk the last of my hair out if I had to do, a transaction down there. So I think,
Well, even in the East Bay and the South Bay, it's night and day difference.
And, it's just... and you always get that agent who comes in, from the Silicon Valley or from San Francisco with their buyer looking to buy. And I get them quite a bit up in Yountville, they'll come in and they come in just swinging this big bat and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to lowball you. And then, they submit the lowball offer and then where are you going to respond? No, the seller has elected not to respond to you. And then it's, well, you need to do this and we need to do that. And it's like, well, yeah, let's think about this again and try one more time.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, the good news is we're starting to see a bit of an uptick in those sellers coming out, and the listings are starting to, you know, be a little more numerous than they have been in the last couple months. So that's good. The weather is starting to help. Now that the vaccine is out, people are starting to get vaccinated. They're feeling a little safer going out and about more. So that's really helping a lot. And hopefully, you know, once spring break is over, we'll start to see another uptick in the listings starting to come out. Usually around spring when the weather starts getting really nice, people, coming out of, you know, winter hibernation, I'll put my house on the market. So if any sellers are listening or potential sellers that are thinking about putting their house on the market or have been mulling it around, now's definitely the time. The buyers are out there, and the affordability of houses right now, yeah, they're, you know, more expensive than they were in 1980, but the interest rates are quite low. A bit lower than they were back then.
Yeah, the lower interest rates help with, you know, getting more house for your money.
I recently read an article that we are like in the lowest, the most affordable.
We're the seventh most affordable market in the country right now.
That's right. Crazy to think that.
And we haven't been this affordable in like 45, 50 years.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense when you think about it on the surface that, wait a minute, my dad used to make $30,000 a year and he'd pay $15,000 for a house. Mm-hmm. Now you make $100,000 a year, you can't buy a $500,000 house. And that's what is on the market. And yet, if you look at the numbers the right way, those interest rates are so low that, you know.
Absolutely.
Historically low. It's great. Yeah.
There's also the Prop 19 that passed last year. I don't know if many homeowners are aware of that, but if you're able to keep the existing property tax, then you can downsize from your 4 or 5 bedroom home and get something that you know, if you don't have the space to build an ADU in your backyard, of course.
Of course, that would be your first option, yes.
If you don't have the space, then you can downsize to a smaller home. And I think that once that catches wind, you're going to see a lot more transactions. Certainly, you don't want to leave somewhere as beautiful as Napa County or Sonoma County. But, you know, if you're aware of that and you can do that or can sell it to a family member and have them also maintain the same property tax, that would be that's a good reason to sell.
Yeah, and that's the whole reason why Prop 19 was written, was because we don't have enough inventory, and a little bit of common sense and research determined that people who have been in their homes for 40 plus years or 30 plus years, they can't afford to sell their home and buy something else because even if they downsized into something very small, their property taxes would increase dramatically. But now, as a result of Prop 19, you're able to move that original basis value anywhere in California from county to county, and that makes all the difference. And that doesn't actually go into effect until April 1. And I've got somebody that we got into contract 60 days ago, and we made sure that we weren't going to close escrow on the other half until April 1. So they were able to save, I don't know, about $5,000 a year because they were able to move that basis from a property that they bought 30 years ago.
That's a legitimate savings.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, the seller wasn't real happy to have a 62-day escrow, but they understood. So
it is what it is.
Yeah. Good point, Ryan.
Occasionally, thanks.
Yeah. All right, now Lisa's made a good question. Ryan's made a good point. Mike, what have you done for us lately?
Not a whole lot.
Okay. And he owns it.
I'm just sitting over here peanut gallerying. Just, you know, like I was saying earlier, I think that we're going to get a really strong market all year long. And, you know, like Lisa said, if there are any sellers out there who are mulling over when to go on the market, now is a good time.
Yeah.
You know, now is a good time to help with the inventory in town and also get a good sale for you, you know, the seller, and get a good amount of money. You know, give Lee W. Miller a call at Vintage Sotheby's and he'd be happy to help you.
Plug, plug, plug.
How many owners of the company
put
do
you
that
on the radio? That is Mike and Lisa Bertolucci, co-owners of Vintage Sotheby's International Realty, and you can always reach them at Vintage Sotheby'sRealty.com. Not the international part, but...
Yep, VintageSotheby'sRealty.com or the office line 707-944-0888.
There you
go. Stop by and see us at 6550 Washington Street in Yountville.
Right down the street from Bouchon.
Yep.
Where the crowds line up.
If you sit out front, you might see Thomas Keller go riding by on his bicycle.
Yeah. Well, forget the house. They just want to go see Thomas Keller now.
I've had it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, another wonderful show. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And we will be back next week. Until then, remember to live each day of your life as if your legacy matters.
Introducing a new and unique source of accessory dwelling units. HabitatADU.com is an all-in-one ADU builder who makes the entire process convenient and actually fun. The new statewide ADU building codes means more properties can accommodate them. Choose from 9 pre-designed models of varying size, built off-site, and delivered nearly 100% complete in much less time than traditional methods. Leave all the permit process and management of the project to the team at HabitatADU.com. Find out if you might benefit from an accessory dwelling unit on your property at HabitatADU.com.
Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renters insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
You will love the staff at Abide Napa Cannabis Dispensary, now open in Napa. The Abide staff's understanding of the medical properties of cannabis enable them to expertly consult patients to the optimum recommendation, free of any intimidation. Their mission is simple: provide patients with the highest quality cannabis products at a fair price. Visit AbideNapa.com or call their experts at 707-266-1967. That's 266-1967. Cannabis expertise, way different than the year 1967.
KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.
Broadcasting live from South Napa Century Center.